May 22, 2023. It's a Waffle Pedro show.
Thank you.
Pedro Show. Happy Monday. Start off the show with John Coltrane. This is one of the earliest recordings of John Coltrane Quartet, 1960. Incomplete version of Exotica. McCoy Tyner, Jimmy Garrison, Elvin Jones, classic quartet. Then Small Life Form, Nickel. And because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got with me Sanford, North Carolina. Brian John Mitchell, welcome aboard.
Thank you, sir.
Absolute. Scotty Irvin, big reason for the connect. Thank you so much, Brother Scotty.
Indeed.
So, Brian, let's get going on your exploration of your musical journey. Please bring your earliest musical recollection, if you could.
I remember probably being two or three and having the Jungle Book soundtrack on a 12-inch vinyl and listening to that on the parent's stereo. And then I also, around the same era, there was this, a kid's ghost song 7-inch that my family had. And you might know this one. It's the, "Have you seen the ghost of John Longton Bones with the flesh all gone?" And
yep.
That thing's still creepy, even just singing it just
now
for me.
Big time, big time. So in this pad you grew up, was there musical instruments?
There were a few instruments that weren't played. My sister had an upright reed organ that I've never really seen something like that since we threw it away when I was a kid. That it was maybe 2.5 feet wide, and I don't think it had notes. I don't think it had pedals on the bottom. I think it just had the little section with the chords, and then 2.5 octaves. But I don't even think it was plugged in ever, to my knowledge. And my mom had an auto harp for some reason, and her and my brother both had they shared this real crap acoustic guitar. And then later on, both of my brothers got electric guitars because it's part of being a suburban white dude, you're required to have a guitar.
Well, did you jump on any of those instruments?
Not when I was a kid. I did acquire those later on, and the auto harp is an interesting beast if you ain't never
now tried you
to
put
mess
you,
with
you got a button for every chord.
Yeah. But
Let me ask you this. At school, were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
No. But I did I was raised Catholic, so we went to church, every Sunday, and I do think singing all those hymns, it permeates into your musical DNA.
I also think the voice is a musical instrument. Ask you this. First record you bought with your own money, Brian?
I think it may have been AC/DC, If You Want Blood, You Got It, and I got it at a flea market.
And the first gig you saw?
The first gig I saw that it was you'll sometimes go to vacation, there's the covers band at the hotel. I mean, I'm sure I was exposed to that a couple times, but I went to see Billy Squire, I think, when I was 13.
Squire?
This is way after he was washed out or whatever. This was 1988 or something. So it was at a pretty small club, but so that was kind of cool, actually, seeing somebody that you think of as playing stadiums, but they're playing this venue that only fits 500 people or something.
Yeah, but a club, I didn't get to go to clubs till Movement. I didn't know. I only knew Arena Rock, so that's kind of neat getting to see a club gig first. Let me ask you this. Not when school graduate, but school in the afternoon when it lets out. Did you get in the garage band, basement band, bedroom band thing?
I did when my first band or whatever, I guess, was the summer between junior and senior year in high school. Me and a couple of my friends tried to do some stuff, and I still use that band name, which is Vlor, V-L-O-R, and it was named after I wore Vlor shirts a lot, and it was a joke at me naming the band that.
And what'd you play?
I just sang at that time, and then it was
So you used your voice. Okay. I consider it a musical instrument, so there's no shame in that. That's fucking bitching.
No. Eventually what happened with that band was it was getting people to show up, it's hard. It's I mean, it's still hard.
I know a little bit of. I know a little bit about that. What about the material? Yeah. What were you guys? Were you copying songs off records, or were you writing your own stuff?
No, we were writing our own stuff, but it was very, you know. So this was like 1992, and it was very influenced by the stuff that was kind of like the edgy popular stuff, like The Cure or something like that. The Cure, Sisters of Mercy, Godflesh, which I guess the three are kind of different from each other, but you know, like, but we didn't have pedals or anything, so it didn't really sound anything like any of those bands.
Now, you know, did you write the music?
A guitar.
Did you bring the music? Since you were the singer, man, did you bring the music or did you bring the words? Or did you bring both?
Oh, yeah, I brought both, and like because like so many people didn't show up, I ended up playing guitar some in that, and there was like a keyboard laying around, so sometimes I would play the keyboard in that. But yeah. I mean, like it never really coalesced into anything in that incarnation of the band.
Yeah, but, Brian, you didn't tell me about getting on those instruments. How'd that happen?
They were just physically there.
Oh, you mean like up to that point? Up to that point, you had never played guitar or keyboard.
Oh, actually, so a few years prior to that, I'd wanted to, like, I had some, you know, like I say, the thing where like, white suburban guys, they're given guitars by their parents.
Those were
or
your
whatever.
Brothers, right? But it happened to you, too.
Yeah, both of my brothers it happened to, and then it happened to me. They gave me, they paid my sister's boyfriend to give me lessons for a couple months. And it just, I don't know if it was him at fault or me at fault or just like, you know, like just not gelling as far as like what he thought I wanted to do as a musician. And, you know, it's like, you know, he wanted me to try and do Jimi Hendrix covers or whatever, which if you ain't never picked up a guitar before, that's really probably not the right place to start, you know?
Well, you could try.
So that was just like, and you know, like everybody else, you know, that first guitar, they always put a whammy bar on it so that it'll never stay in tune.
Tune, right.
So,
and I'm curious too, why didn't your fucking brothers volunteer to teach you?
It might be the same reason why
I know family members don't like to teach other family members how to drive manual stick shift.
Nah, it was just, they were a lot older than me. Uh-huh. So my one brother's like 6 years older and the other's 8 years older.
Uh-huh.
So by the time I got my guitar when I was like 14 or whatever, you know, they were both gone.
It's like, fuck this little kid shit. Oh, they're out of the house. Okay,
They were
moving on. Okay, look, you gave me some, let's play with some more Small Life Form. We'll find out what that's about later down the road. Horns.
Five, four, three. tradition, perdí un embarazo. De esa locura, de ese pobre mente, me amenazó de la española, más un poco estilo dominante.
¡Venezuela! 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 ¡Venezuela!
Watch for Pedro show that Chuck music start off with Small Life Form doing horns. Then Pelican Man is me and Petra Hayden with our opera we composed behind Charlie Plymouth's libretto, Planet Chernobyl, this is part 13 of 15. Just came out. OC's brand new. They got this song, Intercepted Message. John, pretty incredible cat. Arabia Saudada, Venezuela. Their new album, all the songs are named after countries. South America. Doug Wimbish, great bass man. Pass It Around from his solo album. Jason Cutthroat. There's something he told me. He sent me this email. Hey, Mike, I got a Casio keyboard. So he's not playing the slide guitar. 99 Letters with Shishi Mai. And finally, Small Life Form. And I guess only an excerpt. We didn't get the whole enchilada, people. Brian wanted to give us an excerpt of Voice in the Sky. It's probably a long piece, yeah, right?
Yeah, it's like a 45-minute piece, so an excerpt seemed to make sense.
I've played pieces that long on the show. That's one good thing about it being 3 hours. Let me ask you this. You said you were making your own material for this band, Vlore, right? Named after the...
Yeah.
Fuck. You know what?
Shirts.
We ain't going to fucking play the Vlore... Until next hour. I didn't know the timeline, so yeah, the Small Life Form came first. But we'll, people, next hour will hear some Vlore. But do you remember the first Vlore gig?
So we, like, played in somebody's basement, and then I went to college, and...
No, first tell me about that gig, because you only have your first gig once.
Oh, yeah. It was is in this girl's basement. There were like a dozen people there.
Was it a success? Would you call it a success?
No. Okay. I mean, not by my standards today.
I
guess it was a success at that time in life, you know?
Yeah, just getting up there and doing it, right?
Yeah. Like,
and let me
somebody clapping.
Yeah. And what about the material? Like, these are the first songs you ever wrote, right?
Most of the songs were by the guitar player.
Ah, okay.
His name's Russell Hallis. It was only like, you know, like we only had like five songs or something.
That's all right. You got to start somewhere. Nobody pulls ollies first time on a skateboard. Well, they might try, but they're going to go down and go down hard, but get back up.
Yeah.
So he's writing the music and the words, or did you supply words to his music?
Gosh, this is so long ago.
I know. I'm just curious about this, you know, because I think people hearing about other cats getting started, maybe they won't be afraid and they'll start getting. See, the whole idea of the Wild for Pedro show is to get people fucking all crazy about music.
No, I know. Yeah,
that's what happened to me and D. Boone, and so I'm just trying to pass on that condition.
I think if I remember the set, there were like two songs that he wrote, two songs that I wrote the words and melody for the vocal part, and then we covered a Bauhaus song.
You like the guys dressed in black, The Cure, Bauhaus, Sisters of Mercy.
Yeah, right.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was our thing.
Let me ask you this.
For sure.
Can you remember the first fucking Vlore song you wrote?
Let me think of what the words were.
Or the title.
There was one that it was like super... It may not have been the first one, but it may have been the first one. It was about, do you know who Wedge Antilles is in Star Wars?
No.
Exactly. He's in all three of the original movies, but he's like, he somehow never got an action figure until like, you know, he got an action figure like 15 years ago now, but like, you know, like in the, you know, those early 70s, late 70s, early 80s when we were getting the figures, he was like the only main character that didn't get one. You know, they'd show an alien for like 5 seconds and he wouldn't be there, and he would get a figure. But this guy that's in all three movies, he never got celebrated. So we wrote a song about that.
All
the other.
All right.
I got to tell you something. So now you got to count on this guy that didn't get an action figure.
The connect I got with Star Wars, me and D. Boone saw the first one by accident at Grauman's Chinese Theater in Hollywood, all totally by accident. D. Boone had real bad eyes. There was no hype or anything around. It had just come out, and we were up there. I had to give my uncle a ride from the airport. And so we sat, because D. Boone's bad eyes, we had to sit in the front row, and all them words came up at the beginning. I remember that. But it seemed like a kind of science fiction cowboy movie. That's what we thought.
Yeah.
That's what we thought. But
yeah.
Okay, so you gave credit.
It's a totally different experience based on what age you are when that came out, you know, because I'm a few years younger than you. So I saw it, you know, like when I was three, my parents took me to the theater to see it when it first came out, you know, because all the rest of the kids are a lot older than me, so they all wanted to see it. And so, like, it's like a built-in thing. And then, like, when I re-saw it as an adult, it was like, this is not the thing that I thought it was, because I remember it, like, being, like, edgy and dark and weird, and it's just a family movie.
Yeah, but, I never saw any of the others. I didn't like it. But
the show's
about your journey through music, so I don't want to get distracted like that.
No,
So Vlor, how long does Vlor go?
So Vlor still exists, but it has totally transformed itself. So the original incarnation of Vlor is like maybe like on and off for about a year. And then the next incarnation is a couple years later. Me and Russell Hallis got together, and we did it as just me and him on acoustic guitars, and we recorded it in a racquetball court at an apartment complex. And so it, like, sounds all, like, washed out, shoegazy, just because there's so much reverb in that room, you know.
But it was kind of unplugged.
Oh, yeah, it's unplugged, but people were, when we released that as a cassette and people were listening to it, they're like, oh, man, what kind of pedals are you using? I'm like, there ain't no pedals, man. That's a 12-string guitar and a 6-string guitar.
At a roller rink. Bowling alley.
Yeah.
okay, we're jumping ahead a little, though, right? Because between, like, Vlor, you says goes through different incarnations. Still, in fact, it's still in effect, right? So it kind of settles down. And when you get out of school, do you pursue music in higher education?
No.
Okay.
I didn't feel confident at all in my ability as a musician, and so I didn't. I didn't pursue it in school. I wish I had to some degree. I did pursue doing the radio thing and being a DJ. And, you know, that naturally when you go into that, you find out a little bit about engineering.
Sure.
And I do think that helped get me confident enough to buy a 4-track.
And start doing your own recording. And also you're probably hearing a lot of different kinds of musics working at a station.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Yeah, and then there was also a band that started, that I started in between incarnations of Vlor called My Glass Beside Yours, and that was, it started out that it was basically all covers, and it was me singing, and this friend of mine, she was playing viola, and then the incarnation where we were writing original material, she was on viola and I was on auto harp and later reed organ. And
there's the organ.
Because I've learned
all the stuff from the pad when you were young, right? Yeah.
And now it was a different one that I found at a thrift store.
Well,
for
$3. I mean, the same kind. I mean, I'm not saying the exact same.
Yeah, same kind. Yeah, same kind.
Yeah.
But,
you know, we played 3-2 in a small life form. Where does that fit in the timeline? Is that way later? Because I didn't know.
It fits in, like, all these things. Like, it's like, I need to write the timeline down at some point because I got so many things going on at the same time.
Sure.
So what happened with Small Life Form was, you know, like I was doing music and stuff, you know, like kind of serious in a way. My band, my solo project, Remora, had started and everything when I started Small Life Form.
Remora! We're going to play Remora in the third hour. See, I didn't know the timeline. Oh, shit.
Yeah, I should have given you more info. But,
you know what I did? So, you know what I think I did? Brian, I think what I did was I went by the lengths of the songs. I think that's how I found. And plus, I grouped them together. So I put Vlore by each other, Small Life Form by each other. Also, Remora by each other. People, Remora, that's a symbiotic, the little fish that cleans the teeth for the sharks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
that's right.
Not parasite. It's very, very sink.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a fun. Look, yeah, we're at the end of the first hour. We're going to have to continue with your journey. This is May 22, 2023, Dish Wap Pedro Show special guest, Brian John Mitchell. Hold tight for hour two. May 22, 2023, it's the second hour of Wap for Pedro Show. Speed Row Show, start off the second hour. Valor, people, here's the band. This is what Brian started playing with. And it's an ongoing concern. It evolves with time and stuff. And your buddy still with you on the guitar?
No, he isn't. So the, you know, we grew apart over the years. And what the way Valor came back around is, so I run my own record label, and I was remastering some of the older releases that had only been cassette to be able to be available in the digital era. And so I was like, oh man, this Valor stuff's a lot better than I remembered. And so I just asked a bunch of friends, I was like, hey, I'm going to write some guitar parts in this style, and I'm going to send them to you, and you guys, like, you add whatever you want, and then I'll mix everything together, and nobody's heard anything that anybody else did until I mix everything together. Whoa. And, like, that piece, Wires, that you played, like, the reason it's called that is I had a guitar that doesn't have guitar strings in it. I just took pieces of wire and put it on there, and so, like, constantly going out of tune because, you know, it's not, like, strong enough steel or whatever.
But it's
a weird, interesting tone.
Probably stretches, yeah, because wires usually made out of copper. And most of guitar strings are either made out of nickel or steel. Some acoustics made out of brass. Yeah, we heard Wires from Valor, and then after that, Bombas Prendon with Alpaca Suitcase. Get it? You take the K out of punk rock, and you got pun rock, people. Have a nice life. They put an album of all these demos they made, and this is Trespassers W, sorry. And then finally, Valor, Watch Me Bleed. There was a great Germ song called We Must Bleed.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Yeah, you know, at the GI, right? That song is so intense. I always think of Kurt, you know, from Nirvana, because he loved Germs, and that song is so intense, especially at the end, I Want Out. Now Don Bohl's playing so intense drums. So,
did you see them when they were together?
Many, many times, and especially they were really good when they were pracking for that album, G.I.
Yeah, I mean, I know that they were in Southern California a lot, but it seems like people that weren't in Southern California, very few people got a chance to see them, you know?
No, they were from there. I think Lorna was from the Valley, Darby from West Side or something. But, you know, in those days, 70s punk, like, I think only the Dills had a van. You know, these guys didn't think about touring and shit, so you had to live. And really, maybe some of the New York City bands like Ramones or Johnny Thunders. Not even Richard Hell came up. I didn't get to see him until the early 80s. You know, a lot of people didn't tour in them days. Touring kind of was in the punk zone. I would say Black Flag. They were the guys that really, and that's where I learned most of it. So I saw the Germs a bunch, but that's because I was lucky to live in SoCal, you know. Great band. Yeah. And a lot of people in that scene, the Bags, X, Dills, Alley Cats. There was a lot of Nervous Gender, the Screamers, first band that could sell out the Whiskey. I'm going to play the Whiskey tomorrow with the...
Oh, really?
Yeah, a couple songs and some... I've done this before. There and some bowling alley on Hollywood Boulevard and... Yeah, down the street from Robin's Chest. They asked me to play a couple songs with them and stuff. So I remember Minutemen couldn't play the Whiskey because we were violent SST band. And you know who gets us in there? Fear. So funny, the old days. Anyway, the re-getting back of Valor kind of... Because now you're informed by you making your own recordings, being a DJ... Yeah, you branched out musically.
Yeah.
By this point.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to play.
We're talking about how small life form fit in to this scenario, too. And so I'd been doing the Remora thing, and a friend of my dad's was like, oh, you do music? You must do it on the computer or whatever, because my dad's like a computer guy. And I was like, I have never thought about doing music on the computer, but I was like, what would I even do if I did music on the computer? And so I this is like 1998 or whatever. So the power of computers is not what it is today. And, so I would take, record sounds and then just like slow them down, like, from like a 5 second long thing to like a 5 minute thing, and it would turn into this big ambient structure.
Yeah.
And so that was the impetus for that sound. And like at the time I was listening to a lot of like Jorge Ligeti and George Crumb, you know, guys that were experimenting in a similar manner back in the 60s.
Yeah, but I think so they were using, because there was no synthesizers yet, so they're using tape and oscillators and shit like. You gave me this music, the Under Masks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I want to play that. Let me play that right now, and then we can talk about it.
I see you up there on the hill. 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 I see you up there on the hill.
Pedro Show. Started the music off with the Undermass doing I See You Up There on the Hill. And Erica Don Lyle, Trans Refugia. Maybe touring with Bikini Kill? Alex Cunningham and Claire Rousset with Social Capital Where I Grew Up. Ray Shin out of Reno with Sandworm Smile. And finally, this was other music you gave me, Brian. Post-punk sellouts. The post-punk sellout with Harlequin Novel. Now, people, Harlequin Novel, if there was a book form of like a daytime soap opera, that's what a fucking Harlequin Novel. So enlighten us, Brian, first to Undermass and then post-punk sellouts.
All right, so the original incarnation of the Undermasks was I was a big Swans fan, and
Michael
they had
Gira.
Broken up.
Yeah.
What's that?
Michael Gira, he's from up the hill here, Palos Verdes, originally.
Yeah, and so the original version of that band, like, we didn't do shows or anything. We, like, practiced twice or something, you know. And it just, like, it didn't work out. But, like, it was me basically trying to do something that sounded like the elements of Swans that I was into since there wasn't going to be new material available. You know, this was when they broke up, you know. And then once again, the thing with remastering some old material for the digital era came up, and I was like, shit, this band, I should have done more with it. So I re-envisioned the band, and like the original lineup was two basses, one guitar, and drums, and then the new lineup was three guitars, me on vocals, and then me and one of the other guitarists also played floor toms to get, like, you know, some percussion going. And
tribal.
Then the idea for the vocals was the vocals would always be like a loop, and that is kind of the glue, and we're just kind of jamming and riffing with the vocals going. And, like, this particular one, the vocal is even, like, a reference to, I think it's actually a Michael Giroux solo piece, but it might be a swan song. It's hard to remember.
Whoa, okay, like a chant, mantra kind of thing. What about post-punk sellouts?
So that's like a super group of, well, for lack of a better term. So it's Chad SB, who I don't know if you might know him. He's currently in Controlled Bleeding. He's on the keyboards. Brian McKenzie from Electric Bird Noise, formerly from Something About Vampires and Sluts, and I think his band Dead Cut Tree in the 90s had a bit of a following.
I remember.
And then you should we'll get you in touch with him at some point, I'm sure. But it's like the idea was just like for all of us who are doing like this weird esoteric music to try to do something that would be like passable as a pop song or something. And,
merch.
So that's why it's
something merch, which is like if you're in the supermarket by the cash registers, people, that's where the Harlequin Novels are.
Yeah.
Right by the fucking National Enquirer. Look, we're at the end of the second hour. May 22, 2023 edition, Walk Pedro Show. Special guest, Brian John Mitchell. Hold tight for hour three. May 22nd, 2023 is the third hour of the Walk from Pedro Show. We'll be right back. Hot for Pedro show start off the third hour with an exclusive, people. Brother Brian has blessed me with the fucking debut, I guess, to the rest of the world's ears. Who is with you now from Muscle Mass? Then brand new from Dan Jones and the Squids out of Kansas City, Missouri, where there's lots of squids, right? The Missouri River. Pengo after that. Oh, yeah, my remotes. Pengo after that. Telephone from the Tomb. Emergency Room, Brian Etter, drummer man. Incredible. One. You know who's got a solo album on drums? Dave Lombardo. I played a couple weeks ago one of the tunes from there. Incredible drummer man, Dave Lombardo. Paul Swess Duo out of Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Phil Venerable on stand-up bass. Damn Thing. Same name as a Rocky Erickson song. Phil Venerable, Paul Swess Duo. The Damn Thing. Yeah, it's different. You can't copyright a title, people. Finally, Remora. Now we're under Remora. My Brother's Guns and Knives. Intriguing. When do titles come up, Brian, when you're composing?
You know, like, I don't really try and force things. I'm like one of those people that it's just like I walk around and something falls out of me, and then I work on it afterwards, so it just like kind of comes out of the ether. I don't really try and explain or understand the source. I admit that it's like, you know, the gift from the universe or what have you.
But in the order, it's usually last.
No, I would say like.
Oh, good, because I have to start with the title, or I can't fucking write a song. You need something to give me focus.
Oh, I don't need. Oh. Well, if it has vocals, usually it starts with the vocals, and then I have to try and find the music. But if it's an instrumental, then I'm like, I'll just record the thing and then try and figure it out afterwards.
Okay. Why don't you like
sometimes with the instrumentals, I'm like, I should just release it without a name. But then it's like, it does get weird when somebody is like, oh, I love that piece number 724A.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, the old-timey composers, right? The Third Concerto and shit like that.
Yeah.
Opus, you know, not just one opus, but two opus. Magnum opus. Enlighten us to this Muscle Mass's debut.
Okay, so originally the original vision for Muscle Mass is from, like, 2008, and I wanted to do, like, a boys dance band featuring noise musicians as the guys that would do the dance moves and everything. And I got some guys that agreed to do it, but it never came to fruition. But I still had an interest in doing something that had more of that dance music element. And my current day job, I have like mandatory breaks, you know? And so I'm like, well, I've got two 15 minutes and a 30 minute break. I'm not going to just waste that time. So I like, found some apps I could use to make some beats and stuff and, you know, do the stuff on my phone. And so, I've been reinvigorated with, doing the dance music in that way. And early on, like in the 90s when the Groovebox and the MPC came out, I played with those a little bit, but it like at that time it felt like everything sounded good, but it all sounded the same, and yeah. I just couldn't make it work for me.
Yeah.
But now that I'm an old man, it being that easy, it feels a little nice.
So you're using like virtual instruments?
Yeah, it's all on the phone.
Yeah, I had a cat named Barry. He did a whole album on his leash using the, you know, because the iPhone leash comes with GarageBand. He did the whole album with no instrument.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a trip.
You wouldn't know it. You know what I mean? It's like it sounds good in a way.
Well, yeah, with the samples, right? And samples in a way is like little tape recorders. Now, what about this Remora tune? Was that your brother's your real brother's Guns and Knives?
Nah, so I had this, I'm into sci-fi and shit, and I had this, this dream about, like, that there were, like, I was a rebel against the aliens that had invaded, and like I escaped where they had trapped me, and I went to my brother's house, and he's like, dude, I can't help you out too much because I got a family and I can't risk the aliens killing my family. So he just gave me a shit ton of guns and knives, and I went out to fight the aliens. And okay. So that's what it's about.
Okay, let's listen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wap for Pedro Show last music for this edition. Chunk of music start off with Ramara doing Nevada Smith. A little calmer. Until you drink enough of those. Nevada Smith writes a beer, I think. Tripe Soup after that with May 19th, 2017, 02. It's probably the second piece they did. This is from Quebec. Chris Burns turned me on to this, orchestra music. And finally, live Ramara, people. This is the one I've been waiting for. Do you remember this gig that it's from?
What we did was we recorded the band practice before a string of shows. Brian McKenzie was the drummer for that, and he has a recording studio in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. So me and him and Peter Aldrich, we just like, all right, we're gonna record our practice, and like we just went through the set a couple of songs. We did two times.
It was live in front of the mics. That's the way Minutemen used to do albums, because there's a lot more econo, right? You treat them like
that. Yeah, I wish more bands did it that way. Like, I feel like it sounds more immediate.
And so what's up with music with you right now at the moment? Do you got any floor planned? Any floor?
Yeah, there's floor planned. There's post-punk set-off planned. There's muscle mass planned. And there's small life form planned.
Wow. Okay. So they're all ongoing concerns. Do you have a website?
Yeah. I don't really update it as much as I should, but I have a website for the label silvermedia.com. But, you can go from that, you can get to the Bandcamp, and that's where most of the music can be found.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to mimic you. I'm trying to start a podcast. It's called You Are Why I Do This. And it's going to be me just having conversations with people who inspired me not to give up working on music and art.
Whoa. Now, I've never used that P word in 22 years doing the show, but the idea of talking to people about being creative, I think it's a good thing. Because it's all about people, I think. Yeah, and the connects. Like through a Brother Scotty, I met you, you know. The Minutemen, we became SST002 because, right, we met the Black Flag guys. Our first big tour was in the boat with them, you know. It was always about people, being with people.
Yeah, yeah. People forget that. And it's like, it's hard to say thank you to people in a way. And it's like, I want to have it on record, you know, that it's like that my goal with it is to have interesting conversations and treat as equal the people that have really helped me out, the ones that are known and the ones that are unknown. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you know, like I'm sure like you have a brother or a cousin that nobody's heard their music ever, but that they were like a huge influence to Mike Watt.
Yeah, absolutely. Or like you were talking about that character, they never had an action figure, but he was involved. But he was involved. And so, and I know that because you directed my attention that way. See? And that's how we learn shit, right? We all turn each other on to little stuffs that we all are lacking because we all don't know everything. So we all help each other out, try to fill in those gaps.
Yeah. I really appreciate how much you play Coltrane, man, because Coltrane has always been intimidating to me because there's so much material to try to sift through. And I'm like, oh, if I just listen to you, then I know I'm getting the good stuff.
I just finished my 10th bio on you. But he said, you know, musicians are after some kind of truth. So I think if you keep it that fundamental and simple, I think you'll get his message. But I'm curious about the development of your musical projects here. So when you get done with those, will you come back on the show? We can play them and talk about it?
Of course. I would love to.
That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. Please keep on keeping on, Brother Brian.
And we forgot to talk about QRD at all, and I wanted to ask you if you want to take place in that bass player interview series.
Oh, way out, your magazines, or your PFD magazines. They're quite, a lot of people you spieled with. I love that. A little texture. Right. So you bring it, and we'll through Skype here we can do it.
Oh, you want? Well, usually I just have people type it, but yeah, we can do it over Skype, and
you can record it, and then you can change your questions by the way the discussion's going.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay. We'll figure out a schedule to make it happen.
Yeah, I'd love to be part. Thanks so much. People, it's been the May 22, 2023 edition of Wap Pedo Show. Keep your powder dry.